You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 26. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 26. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Rock Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the wrecking community. In this episode, we have another AAR with Corey Madrowski. He completed an awesome Gorok Tough event called the Battle of 1812, and it just sounded like a truly unique experience. I'm really glad he's back on the show to talk about it, and I hope you guys enjoy this AAR as much as you enjoyed the last one with him. Before we get into this interview, as always, I wanted to give some thanks to those who left reviews on Apple Podcasts and our Facebook page. We've got a 5-star review all the way from Sweden who says, "Greetings from Sweden. Thanks for the great pod. The wrecking community is really growing quick over here. We haven't got any Gorok events here yet. I think the closest one is France or England, but we have a similar company called Milrock. They actually promote the Gorok gear, and I recently got my GR1 2 years ago, and I've been using it daily since. Milrock has 3 different standard events, the Brave, the Tough, and the Elite. And I think it's almost like the Light, the Tough, and the Heavy. Maybe you could do an interview with one of the Milrock cadre. Keep up the good work. Best regards." Thank you so much for leaving that. I've actually been following Milrock on Instagram for ages and have recently been emailing back and forth with the founder, so hopefully he will be on an upcoming episode. It would be great to hear about rocking and Milrock events over there in Sweden. A huge thank you, as always, to everyone who has left a review. It's just great to read them, and they are incredibly appreciated. If you want to leave a review, you can always do so on iTunes. Just search for All Day Rock Off, or our Facebook page, which is also All Day Rock Off. One last announcement before we get into this AAR. Charity Challenges 2018 1,000 Mile Challenge is open for registration. Check it out at charitychallenges.org and register to complete 1,000 miles walking, rucking, running in 2018. The event's raising money for the Green Beret Foundation and Team RWB, so please check it out. Without any further intro, here's the interview with Corey. I'm here talking with Corey Madrowski, who you might remember from a previous podcast where we talked about Gorok Beached Tough and Gorok Beached Light, which were both beta events. This time, we're talking about a custom event that Brian Singlin, who you might know as the head of CARC, the Cleveland Area Rucking Crew, spent over a year planning. It's called the Battle of Lake Erie War of 1812 Tough, and it sounds like it was quite the event. I'm really excited to have Corey back here because I want to know more about this event. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm just doing fantastic. Fine, sir.
Awesome, man. I cannot wait to hear about this. Brian, I know he pours his heart and soul into everything he does. So if he was spending a year on this, I'm sure it was quite the event. How did you get involved in this event, and you know, how did you find out about it?
I actually got added to the CARC Facebook page, and I remember Brian saying how he's organizing a custom event to take place at Put-in Bay, which is a little island right off the coast of Port Clinton, which is halfway between Cleveland and Toledo on the map. So there's a nice little island right there, and it's probably its most notable thing is for having a billion bars.
That's something that's kind of nice to be notable for.
I think they call it the Key West of Lake Erie.
Really?
That's one name I've heard.
This is sounding like an interesting place already.
you know, if you remember anything after going there.
Yeah, that's the issue, right? You might head out there, but not know what happens when you're once you're back.
Well, I'll tell you what, this event, last time when I talked to you about beach, I said that beach was in my top three. This event was number one. This is by far my most favorite event I've ever done. So I found out about it on the CARC page when Brian was like, hey, this is going to happen. And I was kind of like worried at that point too, because I had done a light in Cleveland for the 4th of July. And Jeff and Aaron were the cadre. And I think that light ended up being like 6 to 8 hours. It was a longer light, and it was more like a tough. And so I was like worried because I know Brian and Jeff are pretty tight. And I thought for sure that Jeff was going to be the cadre on that. So I started training overtime for this event.
Yeah. I see some of the workouts that Brian and the CRC do, and they're not easy.
He's right in the middle of developing what's called heavy drop, which is kind of the CARC training for heavies, I guess.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to see what he brings with that.
Yeah. So I started training my butt off for this. And I started forgetting about it because I was so worried about beach. So like, and I remember talking to Brian at beach, and I'm like, yeah, I got beach, and then I got this event, and then I got this event, and then I got this. And then he kept saying like 1812, and I'm like, what? Oh yeah, I signed up for that.
That's what happens when you're signed up for so many events. You know, I've run into that issue a couple of times where you get the email from GoArc the week before, and you're like, wait, I'm signed up for something?
Yeah.
Oh man, so signed up for a lot of events, signed up for 1812, and Brian, it sounds like he's pretty excited about this.
Very, very. I mean, the guy was just bursting at the seams, ready for this. I mean, before we even get into the start point, I mean, I remember about a month out, we start getting a message on the Facebook page for 1812. And it's like, all right, you guys need to organize yourselves into boat crews. You need to let me know who the captain is. And then I'm sending out a gear list to the captain. And so one of the ships that was at the 1812 battle, or I should say 1813 battle, because it's the War of 1812, but the Lake Erie battle didn't happen until 1813, was the HMS Detroit. So you know all the D Squad guys are going to be on that ship.
Absolutely.
So we ended up being, the HMS Detroit, and Captain Dean took and released the gear list. I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, what did I get myself into?
So let's talk about the gear list a little bit. What's going on with that?
Okay, so the gear list was something like you had to pick a boat color, and you had to have bandanas, and you had to have all the same t-shirt, and then you needed like a bunch of contractor bags. They wanted a bunch of paracord. You wanted like a standard rope. They wanted us to make up flags. And then there was talk of getting like PVC pipes, and they wanted us to like make our own boat when we got there. And I was like, what?
This is definitely not your typical GoArc Tough event.
Right. And I'm like, I gotta work. This is more than I planned on chewing. But then we found out there were some logistical problems with us trying to put all this gear onto the Jet Express, which is a boat line that goes out of Port Clinton to Put-in Bay. And we found out it's going to be real hard for us to take whole boats on this ferry boat and go, a mile and a half out to the island and then do more stuff out there. So they kind of nicked the boat building thing, and we ended up doing something different, but we'll get into that later.
Sounds good. So was this event after your beached tough and beach light?
I believe it was about a month, a little more than a month after the beached events, I want to say. I could be wrong. It was, it was about 2 or 3 weeks after, come to think of it. It seemed like it was a lifetime.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
So, oh, yeah, man. I mean,
that's nice, though, because, Battle of Lake Erie. There's going to be probably some water involved, and you've just gotten probably 16 hours worth of water survival.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Brian took a lot of material from Beached and added it to the 1812 because there's stuff that kind of cropped up again.
Very nice. So it's an interesting packing list. Everyone has to, you know, get themselves into these boat crews. How many boat crews were there?
Let me think. I know there's Scorpion, Niagara, Detroit. I want to say there was about five boat crews because I can't think of the other two names. Yeah, about five of them, I think. And we had roughly about 8 to 10 people per boat crew. There was a lot of, at the last minute, people dropping out and people subbing in. And so it was really kind of hard to keep track of everybody prior to the event start.
Yeah, it's always tough. Tough when stuff like that happens.
Well, Shredder just kind of basically came into the Facebook group and was like, you better get your head straight. If you want a regular Go Ruck event, get out of here. Go talk to HQ, get them to transfer you out, get your credit. But if you want something truly extraordinary, you know, you just get together and show up on time.
Man, I've had Shredder for one event, and he's a very, very awesome cadre. So I'm glad he was out there for that.
It was no different this time around. He's a cool dude, and so is Cadre Cody, who is the other guy that was there making sure everything went down right.
So did you have to take a ferry out to the starting point for this event?
Negative. What happened was it started in an area of Ohio called Catawba Island, which is actually a really nice part. It's real close to Port Clinton. We met up at a park. It's probably a couple miles from where the ferry is. But of course, you know, the ferry has free parking. So we parked over at the ferry and then we had to walk it to the park. And we showed up there. It's like 9 o'clock at night. And by this time of the year, it's pretty dark at about 9 o'clock. So we're just kind of all milling around at the little shelter there, getting our gear ready, checking everything, making sure we're good to go. And then Shredder and Cody come rolling in and tell us to get in our lines. And that's where it really started getting tense.
I bet. So what happened?
We were instructed to pull out our contractor bags. And from there, we had to load all of our gear inside the contractor bags. And he wanted us, you know, essentially we were conscripted into the Union Army at that point, or not the Army, but the Navy. So we weren't even technically seamen yet. We were just conscripts. And it was our kind of fitness test, I guess, or kind of our basic training where we had to run like, I think it's a mile and a half or 2 miles down the road to a nearby boat launch. And, you know, they said, get there any means possible, but you got to have all your gear inside that contractor bag.
Wow. That's quite the start to the event.
You ever lose your strap privileges?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's exactly like that, except your ruck is now covered in a giant slippery plastic casing, too.
Oh.
I had the poor judgment to also be carrying the team weight at the same time. So the HMS Detroit's team weight was what we lovingly referred to as the tea bag because we're British and the British love tea. So we had a 25-pound bag of gravel in a Go Ruck sandbag. And so I'm like, do I load the sandbag into the contractor bag or do I try to carry that separate? And I think I ended up throwing it inside the contractor bag. And about halfway down the road, I'm like, there's no way I can carry all of this stuff. So I ended up taking the gravel bag out and carrying that on one shoulder and then slinging my ruck in my contractor bag over the other shoulder and getting to the boat launch.
Trying to even that weight out just a little bit.
It was very lopsided. I'm like, if this is what the whole night's going to be like, oh man.
No kidding. For those who are listening and haven't done a Go Ruck event where you lose strap privileges, what that means is that you can no longer use the shoulder straps on your ruck. So you can carry it by any means necessary except for the way you're supposed to carry a ruck, which is with the shoulder straps. So it's fun for 10 seconds and then it's terrible.
Right, and I think it's even shorter than that, but you know, to each their own.
Yeah. Yeah. The novelty wears off quick. You know, you get excited. You're like, oh, we lost strap privileges at this event. You know, I heard about this once. And then,
yep.
And then it's real, real quick. So you guys get over to the ferry, you know, you're lugging all this stuff. Your arms are probably smoked at this point. What happens next?
Okay. So we go from the park to a boat launch. The ferry's not even in the picture. That doesn't happen until tomorrow. We go to this boat launch and Shredder instructs us that at some point throughout the whole event, we are going to get 1,812 reps in. It could be man makers. It could be burpees. It could be sit-ups. It could be flutter kicks. You know, we're just going to do 1,812 of stuff. So I think we got down to the boat launch. We got lined up in our boats. And I think the first thing we did was like 60 burpees.
Oh, I was going to say Shredder, he'd start either with burpees or 8-count bodybuilders.
I don't remember seeing 8 counts in there, but it all kind of was a blur after a while.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make 1,812 somehow. That is a ton of reps. And they probably didn't buy the whole we're one team, so all of our reps count individually up to 1,812.
No, definitely not. We weren't trying to lawyer that one because that just means we'll probably get hurt more.
That usually just upsets someone and you'll just pay for it dearly later. So you're starting off with 60 burpees.
It was rough, but it was doable. I mean, the people that signed up for this one were a fairly athletic crowd and we were all kind of hurting, but it was a good warm up.
Yeah, yeah. What happened next there at the boat launch?
I think after that, it was time to go down to the beach. And, you know, I don't know what it's like out where you guys are at. You know, usually when I see pictures of Seattle and the West Coast, there's these nice sandy beaches. Well, the Great Lakes, the beaches are rocks. And, you know, so it's just like this whole beach is nothing but, you know, real round, hard, friggin' rocks. You know, immediately they got us in the water doing a surf check. So, you know, link arms, walk out there until you're about waist deep, turn around, all right, get your heads under. And we did that a couple times. We did some surf PT, laying on our backs, trying to think of what the maneuver is where you try to almost do like a somersault backwards and touch your feet behind you and then come back up.
The rocking chair.
I forgot the name. Yes, that's it. The rocking chair.
One of the worst exercises ever. How many reps did you have to get for the rocking chair?
I don't even remember at this point. I was just like, just, you know, I read the books, the endurance athlete books, and I remember the one piece of advice was get one foot in front of the other. So that's at that point, I was just like, I don't even care. I just keep doing reps until they say stop.
Yeah. So for those who are listening and haven't ever had to experience rocking chairs, the ones that I've had to do, and it seems most cadre make you do, is you sit down in the water, you all line up, you lock arms, and then they usually just ask for one rep. One rep where everyone does it together. And if you've been to a GoRock event, you know that means more than one rep. That means you're going to be doing this like 10 plus times. But
I think we were shooting for 10, maybe 20 at that point.
We've got some heavy hitters over there with, you know, the solid rucking crews out there.
Yeah, well, we still had to do it a couple of times.
So you lock arms in the water and you're sitting there and they say go. And you kick your feet up above your head and you kind of do like this reverse somersault thing where your feet go over your head and your feet have to touch the water. So your head's underwater in like this gravel, you're trying to stay over for a couple seconds because everyone has to be doing this at the same time for it to count. And then you come back and you essentially mini drown yourself multiple times. It's quite the way to start an event if you're doing this. I mean, this is probably what, like an hour in?
Yeah, roughly. I think at that point, yeah, I wasn't keeping track, but I would have to say it's probably 11 o'clock at night at that point, maybe. Maybe 10:30, not sure.
Oh, man.
I need to learn how to read the stars like Crocodile Dundee or something.
Yeah. Might distract you a little bit from the rocking chairs.
Oh, it's beautiful. I didn't realize how much starlight you could see when you got away from the city like that, because it was really nice. I didn't realize I could see that nice of a view of the sky if I just get outside of Toledo.
So what kind of a location are we at here? We're at a boat launch. Are there small towns nearby, or it sounds like there aren't any major cities if you're missing all that city light?
Pretty much the biggest town nearby is Port Clinton, which is the main thing with Port Clinton is you got the ferries to go to Put-in Bay, where the bars are. Everything else, you've got Camp Perry nearby, which is where they used to hold the NRA Nationals every year. And then they've got Davis-Bessie, which is a nuclear power station nearby. So other than that, it's pretty devoid of light pollution.
That's nice. That's really nice. So you're out there enjoying a nice night on the beach, doing rocking chairs.
From there, it was time to break up into our boat crews, and I think it was time for another swim assessment at that point. So they wanted us to bring life preservers, and we did. So we had to buddy up, and I think it was Shredder cracked a couple of chem lights and whipped them out there pretty good. And said, all right, you and your buddy swim around my chem lights and get back to the beach.
How'd everyone do with that? And did you get to bring your ruck with you?
Rucks, I think, stayed on land for that portion. One of our instructions I forgot to mention was that we had to make sure our rucks float. That's a very important bullet point for later on in the event. And that's going to be a great story that I don't think enough people heard about that one. But I'll just tease you a little with that. So we got our life jackets on, and my brother and I, we were big small boat sailors on Lake Erie. So I was able to grab his life preserver, which is one of those ones where you just pull the rip cord and it inflates on its own. But I was like, I'm not going to waste the CO2 cartridge. So I'll just leave it alone. And I inflated it by mouth. Well, I'm about probably halfway into the water initially, and then I hear, and I just realized that my CO2 cartridge just went off. So I'm like trying to hit the air relief valve on my life preserver so that it doesn't accidentally pop. And thank God it didn't, because I needed that life preserver on this event.
That's wild. Yeah, I'm glad it didn't pop too.
Oh man, I would have been so screwed. We did the swim assessment, got around the glow sticks, and then I think it was time to form up as teams. And then it was another swim assessment. I think we had to swim a Budweiser line, which if you've never swam it, basically it's your whole team just grabs a hold of a rope. Sometimes you'll have knots in it. Sometimes you won't. But it kind of reminds you of like a six-pack holder for beer cans. And so we were swimming as a group. We had to go swim to Shredder at a dock over there, you know, at the boat launch, and then we had to turn around and swim back as a team.
So you're spending a decent amount of time in the water. What's the water like?
Pretty cold. Not as bad as Traverse City. I think Traverse City helped me out there. I was feeling pretty good in that water, but there was definitely some other people that weren't feeling the love.
I'm sure there's always someone there who hates the water.
Darn skinny folk.
Yep. No kidding. So you've got this Budweiser line going. You've spent a decent amount of time in the water. How are you feeling?
Me? I'm feeling pretty good, but we're all kind of, you know, checking on each other, making sure no one's hyping out. And I know a couple people were complaining of cramping up during the Budweiser line swim. So, you know, those people, you're just like, all right, just try to relax and float. I remember being at like the front of the line. Well, there were two fronts of the line. We swam one way, and then all we did is we just did a bout face and swam back to the beach. So I was tailing it to swim to Shredder, and I was leading it on the swim back from Shredder. And I remember feeling my pecs start to cramp up, and I'd have to switch arms and kind of do a side stroke with my other side. in order to get the job done.
Absolutely. And I hear those Budweiser lines, if you're in the front, it's a decent amount of work.
It's not bad. Could be worse.
It could always be worse.
After we got done with the Budweiser line, the Port Clinton police showed up. You know, I already gave you a little teaser about what Clinton Bay is like. So you're just imagining the quality of people that those officers have to deal with them on a daily basis, if not like at least a weekend basis. They get a lot of people enjoying their grandpa's cough medicine a little too much, and they got to settle them down from time to time. So they see this big group of people standing in the water. They got backpacks. They got, you know, American flag shirts on and all sorts of weird stuff. And they know this isn't your average crew. Shredder kind of talks to them and tells them what we're all about. And he comes back to us and he goes, you know, those guys are really impressed with you. And now we're going to start a different phase of the event. Basically, you're going to do 10 minutes of silence in that water while treading it. And these guys are going to watch. So, you know, we get out to the point where we can't touch and we got to tread water and we can't be moaning and groaning. You know how it is when you're in front leaning rest, there's always that noise going on. And we couldn't have any of that for 10 minutes in cold water while treading it.
Man, I bet there are some people who are not enjoying that.
There definitely were a few people, but they managed to do a great job of suffering in silence because we got through that without a problem. And the Port Clinton police were just so impressed with us.
That's great. Would you say that going back a little bit to the Beach Tough, you had to tread water for half an hour to 45 minutes. Did that help you at all with this event?
You could say there was a little bit of muscle memory left over from that.
So what happened with the police that showed up?
Oh, you know, they were real happy to see some people enjoying, you know, the beach in a different way. And they pretty much said, you know, don't worry about a thing. The rest of the night will keep anybody away from you. And they kind of went on back to their patrolling. But the quality of people they usually see is not the GRT quality. So it was a treat for them to see us doing our thing and suffering in honor of something bigger than us.
I'm not quite sure what they were expecting when they showed up, but it was probably not what they saw. So that's really cool.
We got out of the water briefly to do a little bit of rehydration, grab some gear from the list. And from there, we had to unload a U-Haul van with lots of interesting looking PVC pipes and various implements, which brought us to our next phase where we broke out into our boat crews and we had to start constructing rafts out of PVC pipes and 550 cord.
Wow. So did you or anyone on your boat crew have any knowledge of how to construct a raft out of PVC and 550 before you started this?
I don't want to brag, but man, I know Captain Dean Aiken, the guy who was running the Detroit HMS, was very, very thankful for my knot tying skills because I still remembered I had to do my lashings from Boy Scouts. So I was able to go in there and just bang out a couple of lashings to get those PVC pipes together. I remember doing a clove hitch too and just having the hardest time because my hands were cold. But after getting a little light on there and taking a couple of deep breaths, I was able to get it started and then just lash that thing together like a rock star.
That's amazing. That's awesome that you had that prior knowledge because I, for one, would probably struggle a little bit, at least to start getting that together.
I remember seeing other boat crews, not quite sure how they were going to do it. And I remember just seeing like two poles and you just lash it. So we had one big lashing of paracord on one end and one big lashing of paracord on the other. And we were ready to rock and roll.
There you go. So did every boat crew have to make their own boat?
Essentially, we did some maneuvering with those there in the water. I think we had a race or two with those. And you know how it is with races. It pays to be the winner. So
it sure does.
I don't remember if we were winners. If I don't remember, we probably weren't. So there was definitely some swimming and some repercussions with exercises for that. And then from there, it took a very interesting turn, because we these PVC pipes, we had like rubber caps with the device's hose clamp around it. So, you know, these PVC pipes were waterproof, and they tell us to drag it up onto the beach and pull one end of the caps off. And I'm like, okay. One of those PVC pipes we had to fill with water. The other PVC pipe we had to fill with rocks from the beach. So then now we've got a giant like slosh tube, and we've got a giant tube full of rocks. And we're told that, you know, boats had to carry provisions. So one was your water and the other was your gunpowder. From there, we had to carry our PVC pipes as a team's back to the park we started at. And I didn't get a real good look at that park when we started, but there's a fairly sizable hill in it I didn't realize. So one of the things they had to do back in the day would be to, you know, ford boats over land, and they would have to tie ropes to the boats and drag them across land to get to the next body of water. That was Shredder's next little fun activity for us. We were at the bottom of a hill. We had to drag our boats with, I think it was at least two members from our team, on top of the PVC pipes plus rocks up that hill, go down the other side.
That must have been a fun surprise.
I can tell you from the HMS Detroit's standpoint, you know, we were killing it in the other areas, and then we would miss in other areas. So this is where we really missed, because during the trip up the hill, one of those rubber caps came loose and we lost all our water. So that was a strike against us. And then we finally got it up the hill. And then I think we were going back down, and one of our caps came loose and we lost our gunpowder. So we're double screwed.
Did any other boat crews lose their water or their gunpowder?
As far as I know, no. So yeah, we looked real bad at that point.
So what happened with that?
I think we had to add more people to the pipes at one point. And I mean, it turned into a Charlie Foxtrot. I mean, we were trying to push and pull this pipe up the hill, and it just wasn't working for us. And I think it got to a point where Shredder just like took pity on us. He's just like, all right, just get down the hill, get in the front and lean rest. It was just taking so much time. And then I think after that, there came more PT. We did probably 120 reps of something. Can't remember if it was burpees. I remember being on my back a lot, so maybe it was flutter kicks. I couldn't remember, because all I can remember seeing is in this big, long field that we were in, and it was foggy as all get out. I mean, it was spooky as heck. I was just astounded at how much the landscape had changed from when we started, because it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning when this all went down, and it would look cool as heck, but at the same time, it sucked like hell.
Oh, I bet. Probably wondering if you actually made it back to the same park you started in.
It gets better, because from there, I think he had us load our stuff back up and go back to the beach, because we had to dump out the rocks and the water onto the beach, which, you know, obviously we didn't have to do. And then we did another little jaunt from the beach that we were at to a park in the Catawba Island area. And that's where it got really interesting. Because during this whole event, we had to start using boat terminology. So if we were going to move forward, we had to say make way. If you were going to turn left, you had to say port. If you're going to turn right, you had to say starboard. So at one point, they took us to this park and we got in our boat teams. And they made us carabiner our rucks together in the center, and we had to all face out. So we're just kind of this big, like, reverse group hug. One of the items we were instructed to have was a bandana. And we had to blindfold all the people on the boat crew except the captain. The captain was in the center. And it was up to the captain to basically guide us through a trail in this park. And we all had to be blindfolded, so we had to we had to trust our captain and the directions he was giving us.
Wow.
And I honestly, I have no idea how long that was. I just remember it taking forever because I think either the cadre went in and put like a huge friggin' log down in the trail, or they just hadn't taken care of the park and there was a huge log in the trail. So we ended up getting like lost in the dark. And we had to recircle around a couple of times, but apparently we were doing better than the other boat crews because we were one of the first to finish, I guess.
Wow. That must have been something.
You got to remember when you're in a circle like that, not everybody, you know, nobody's facing the same direction. So if you're in the back of it or the stern of the boat, you know, forward is your back and, you know, port is going to be your right. So when he calls port, you actually got to go right, not left. And it's just, it turns into a giant teamwork exercise.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stuff to consider. And you're blindfolded the whole time. So you got that going for you, too.
It definitely is interesting because people are calling out how about the terrain. And, you know, I remember at one point being not on the trail and having my footing slipping and thinking, God, if I go down, I'm taking the whole boat with me, and I can't let that happen.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that. So you're one of the first boats back.
Supposedly, you know, I couldn't see it with my own eyes, and I don't know if they were just bolstering our ego, but I'm hoping that was true.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have felt pretty good after you guys lost all the water and all the gunpowder previously.
It definitely gave us a new hope for for not being the worst boat.
So how long did it take for all the other boats to get there? Were they taking different routes or was everyone on the same route?
I think they started half of the group at one end of the trail and the other group at the other end. The trail kind of looped around and came back to itself. So at one point we would cross paths with the other boats and then we'd have to maneuver around them.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, they're calling out directions too. So you got to try not to listen to them and you're trying to listen to your boat captain and not get tangled up with the other boat.
Yeah, no kidding. That's almost more difficult than a log.
It was more mentally taxing than a log, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So all the groups are finally back together. How's everyone feeling? Were you able to take your blindfolds off at that point, or were they still on?
No, once we finished, we were able to take our blindfolds off, get some water, and just kind of chill for a few minutes while we waited for the other boats to get done. You know, I think it was probably, we had a good 15 minutes maybe standing around before we were headed back to that boat launch / beach for the next evolution, because I think at that point we were starting to get a little bit of sunshine peeking in maybe, or we were getting close to dawn. So that's when we got into some more technical aspects of the event and where we get to probably my favorite story about this event.
Man, I'm excited.
So earlier on, I told you that one of the requirements was we had to figure out how to get our rucks to float. And this is with standard challenge weight. So you got a 30-pound plate if you're over 150 pounds. And you got to figure out how to make that thing float. A couple of the guys on my boat came up with the bright idea, you know, go over to Target. It's the end of the season. They're selling all their pool stuff. Get a couple of clearance kickboards. And I think one guy was able to fit like 3 kickboards in his ruck to get it to float. I opted for cutting a noodle down the middle and 100-mile-an-hour taping it to my plate and then just doing 2 kickboards because I needed room for all the other junk, and that helped float it pretty good. But people on the other boats, their rucks didn't float so good.
Oh, let's hear it.
We'll just move ahead. The next evolution was learning how to take tarps and kind of burrito roll them into making rafts out of your rucks. So there was a couple of different ways you could do it. Luckily, my knot tying skills came in handy there because you had to basically do another clove hitch. And, you know, it really was like making a giant burrito. So we got that going. And then we had to get in the water with these rafts that we made and maneuver with them. you know, after a few maneuvers in the water, you know, going around buoys or swimming here, swimming there, the quality that you put into your work started to show, because some people's rafts started kind of coming apart a little bit, started taking on water. One unfortunate individual whose name honestly is lost to me, otherwise I would name him, his ruck fell out of the raft. And he didn't do a great job of making sure it floated. He did a great job of making sure it kind of floated.
Oh.
Well, he lost basically, you know, his GR1, his plate, and everything that was inside it is sunk to Davy Jones' locker there in Lake Erie.
Wow.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. Shredder pulled us all out of the water and had us walk a police line in the beach, and we could not find that sucker.
Wow. That's rough. That's something.
Shredder kind of came out and he's like, listen, you know, we lost a ruck. We're going to get with HQ. We're going to make this right. You know, it was bad, but we're going to make it right. So, you know, I got to believe at the end of the day, they hooked him up real good. And it wasn't a horrible loss, but man, there might be some Lake Erie fisherman that comes across that ruck someday thinking he's got a whopper of a walleye. He's going to find out he's got a literal treasure trove.
That's crazy.
At least that's how I sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah. someone will find it. So what happened with that individual?
He's still stuck with us. It was just kind of like, I think they ended up sticking with the team weight or something, because it's like, well, what do you do now?
Right, right.
No ruck. We just kind of continued on. I mean, we probably spent a good half an hour, 45 minutes trying to search for that ruck, and Davy Jones took it. So nothing we could do at that point. So I think Shredder could see that morale got a little low at that point. So he had us police the beach for garbage and whatnot. We would find a couple of gel wrappers or some power beans or whatever whatever the junk food that most GRTs pack in their rucks these days take along. So he's like, listen, in 1813, they didn't have all these carbohydrate things. They had crackers and they had sardines. So they come rolling out with a couple boxes of crackers and a couple of packs of sardines, and they wanted us all to have a little bit of that.
How'd that go for you? Did you have any?
I couldn't bring myself to watch the video that Cody shot, because I had to sound like the biggest nerd. Because at one point, I remember someone asking me, he's like, hey, Corey, get in there and get some of that sardine. And I'm like stuttering. I have a fish allergy. So I must have sounded like the biggest nerd. Like, I can't. I have an allergy to sardines. And I think Cody was videoing me at that exact moment. And I can't even watch the video just in case I do look like the biggest nerd there standing like that. And they're like, well, get the crackers. And I'm like, no, I can't eat the crackers, man. I'm keto. I don't eat gluten and definitely not carbs. So I just kind of sat back and fasted.
Yeah. Yeah. That is too funny. Maybe I can dig up the video. I'm just kidding. I won't dig it up.
I'm sure it's there. I haven't watched it, so I don't know if he stopped it and you don't see that or what, but I've never had the stomach to watch it.
Well, that happens to me too. It's the first time I ever was an interviewee on a podcast. It took me like 2 weeks to listen to it because I knew I sounded terrible. I was like, man, I can't even stomach this. I can't stomach listening to this because it's going to be so bad.
You're never 100% perfect at whatever you do the first time. So you've only gotten better with time, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I know that feeling all too well. So they bring out these sardines and crackers. That must have been a surprise to everyone. What's going on from there? The sun, it sounds like the sun at this point might have come up a little bit since it was peaking earlier.
It's got to be like 7, maybe 8 o'clock at that point. I think I want to say it was 7. I can't be 100% sure. You know, we're sitting around trying to chow down on these sardines and crackers. Some of the people are like, they're trying not to blow chunks because they're squeamish about the sardines. Other people are just like, yeah, this is great. Can I have yours? And you know, the typical, you know, trying to gross the squeamish guy out type of thing. And so we just kind of sit around chilling, get some calories in us, getting some water in us, replenishing some of those electrolytes, and just So that, you know, that magical moment in the middle of a tough where you're all just sitting around sharing food. It's that moment.
Yep.
So snack time's over and we're behind schedule because we spent so much time searching for this ruck. Basically, what we got to do is we got to load all the gear into the U-Haul van. And you got to remember, at the same time this is happening, all the fishermen are trying to come down to the boat launch and drop their boats in the water. So we've got like hundreds of people just staring at us like, what the heck are those weirdos doing? So we carry our PVC pipes up to the U-Haul. We get them into the truck. Basically, Shred's just like, all right, we're behind schedule, so we got to expedite this. So he just points to a boat team, get in the van, and we're going to take you over to the ferry. And then that's kind of what they did, is we got in the van. They took one team to the ferry. The rest of us kind of sit and chill. And I remember during that point, I was getting a little sleepy at that point. So I remember Cody, like, peeking down, like, getting his face near mine. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I, like, snapped up. I was just about to fall asleep, and I could see him have that smile on his face, like, I got you. No, we just kind of sat and chilled. Cody got a pretty good inspiration at one point. He was looking over there, and he's like, hey, Detroit, are those picnic tables? And we're like, yeah, what are you thinking? And he's like, we're going to send a little love message to Jesse Hine. And we're all like, heck yeah. So he tells us to get over on those picnic tables, hoist them above our head. And he's like, and he just goes, who's this for? And we all yell, Jesse Hine. Who's this for? Jesse Hine. Who's this for? Jesse Hine. And then we were done with that. And I don't know if Jesse ever got the video, but I hope the heck he did, because that just sounded cool as all get out.
That's awesome.
All right. So fast forward. We load up into the van, get to the ferry point. And so I think the ferry to get put in bay, it was like $12 maybe, something like that. So they're all like, you brought your 20s, right? Everyone's like, yeah, except one guy. And we all get in line. We pay our soggy 20s to the lady, and she gives us our ticket. And then we're just kind of milling around, waiting for the boat to come in, talking about this, that, and the other thing. You're just kind of chilling. And I remember sitting there like, man, how much longer is this going to go on? Because, it was my on-call weekend for work. And I'm like getting worried because, like, I got to go see patients this afternoon, and I want to be somewhat coherent to treat my total hip and my lady with a fractured tibia. So I'm like getting a little nervous here because it's probably like getting closer to like 9-10 o'clock. So we're riding the ferry, and I remember there's a great video of Captain Dean. He's like nodding off on the ferry ride, and he's like drifting to his right. And I remember Cody was videoing that, and it's on the Tough page, I think. And he's like almost going to fall out of his seat on the ferry. And then he snaps out of it at the last second, sits up, and he goes, and that's a hard to starboard without breaking face or anything. I remember when I got back and I saw that video, I laughed so hard.
That's amazing.
So we're riding the ferry, and everyone's kind of like nodding off. Some of them are talking. I remember actually we're sitting next to a couple, and the husband had actually written a book on the War of 1812. So like Cody and Shred and I and Brian are kind of like sitting around listening to this guy talk. And then we finally, get off the boat, and we got to unload, and we got to ruck it to another beach. So the U-Haul van goes ahead of us. Cody's with us. And I'm like, hey, Cody, man, I gotta work after this. How much longer we got? And he's like, listen, dude, I got a flight to catch out of Cleveland at like 3 o'clock. So I'm in the same boat with you. But he's assuring me, no, you're not getting fired today. We're gonna end this. It's not too much longer. Okay, cool. So we ruck it a couple, I think it's a mile or two from where the Put in Bay ferry puts in, to another boat launch / park nearby, where Shred takes and instructs us to build rafts out of the PVC that he brought in the U-Haul but we have to have our rucks attached to it. And, you know, this late in the game, people ain't thinking straight.
Right.
So Hani came up with a bright idea. I'm like, just put your friggin' backpack straps through the PVC pipes. And everyone's like, dang, you're a genius, man. So we do that. And then we make a burrito out of a couple of rucks and do the whole raft thing again with that. And, you know, that's where it gets a little chaotic because, like, they're, you know, Brian would come up to me and it's like, all right, it's time to go. Oh, wait, no, we got a few minutes. And so we took our rafts and we loaded them into the water and we reenacted the Battle of 1813 Lake Erie. And this was so cool. This is probably the best part of the, this was the apex of the event, because what we had to do was we had to kind of mimic the movements of the boats during the war. And what we'd have to do is we come alongside. The long side of the boat is where the cannons were. So whenever we got close enough to one of the other boats, you know, out there, the Niagara or the Scorpion or the others, we would have to fire on them. So we came up with a great idea. Well, firing the cannons meaning we splash their asses. So, you know, we just started splashing like crazy any boat that came close to us. And so, I mean, it was fun. It looked like fun. We had a good time. Let me describe the situation at this beach. Some of the listeners might know about how the toxic algae blooms in Ohio, or I should say in Lake Erie. They actually get so bad at one point, the city I live in, Toledo, the municipal water supply was actually tainted by the toxic algae because our water purification system couldn't keep up with it. So there's like signs posted all over this beach about toxic algae blooms and how you should be aware. I'm still surprised I didn't end up with any kind of enteric disease or anything, because I know I got a good couple of mouthfuls of that water.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, I'm glad nothing bad happened. Did anyone else get sick?
Not that I'm aware of. I think some people referred to it as ear herpes at some point, but I don't know of any confirmed illnesses at this time.
Well, that's good. I'm glad everyone lucked out. We've got a popular start point for some of our tough events, which is called Green Lake out by us. And they have three or four sensors on the lake on north, south, east, and west. And it measures the amount of fecal matter in there. And so it's updated over the summer, I think, daily. And so whenever we have a start point there, I'll always be posting, you know, screenshots of that. It's like, hey guys, there's a bunch of crap in the water. So hopefully we don't go in there.
Oh, Green Lake. Why would they call it that?
I know, right? That's a... So thankfully we never really go in there, but I'm glad that no one got sick at your event. So
yeah, that we know of.
That we know of. Yep. That we know of.
I was like really worried too, because the shore over there was like kind of rocky, and they made us, you know, in the Pathfinder way, choose the harder thing. We didn't go down the nicely made path. Shredder had us put the boats over like the steep ends to get them in the water. And I remember cutting the palm of my hand on a rock. So I'm like, oh, I can put my gloves away now. And stupid me didn't put my gloves on when we did that part, and I get a cut on my hand, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting something for sure now.
Yeah, right before you get in the water, just some nice blood flow.
The toxic algae water.
Yeah, no kidding. That's, yeah, it sounds like your beaches are kind of like ours. We don't have those nice sandy beaches that we just have, you know, rocks and gravel and pebbles and all that good stuff. You know, good stuff in quotes.
Makes
all
it hard.
That. Yeah, you definitely earn it.
Then we had the naval battle. The apex of the naval battle was, all right, Shredder's like, all right, you guys did it. You had the battle. There's only one thing left to do. I need each boat to pick one person, and you need to get that person up on your raft, and they got to run the gauntlet. And the gauntlet was that all the other ships got across from each other, and you had to have the person who was on top of the raft had to stand on top of it, Captain Morgan style. And you had to maneuver the boat through the gauntlet while everybody splashed you.
Wow.
And it looked so awesome.
Who was chosen from your boat?
I honestly don't remember. It had to have been whoever was one of the smaller people, because we wanted to make it, we wanted to get it done. And, you know, obviously the rafts were constructed hastily and we wanted to ensure success. So I think it was whoever the smallest person was at that time.
Yeah, that's smart. I mean, you're already, what, over 12 hours into the event?
I think at that point we were pushing about 14. I did my math wrong when I was like, when I was coming back on the ferry, I kept like telling everybody it was an 18 hour tough. And I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Cause you know, we're not that, I'm not late for work yet.
But still, that's a long tough.
It was significant, but here's the kicker. And I know Captain Dean Aiken was a little sore on this. This was going on around the same time as I think the hurricanes were hitting Florida. So our patches didn't get out of HQ in time. So we didn't actually get patched the island. We got all our patches in the mail like 2 weeks later after the postal service had resumed. But I mean, it was so sweet. I got a great picture on my Facebook. I was driving home from work and I could see the envelope laying against my front porch with that big arrowhead sitting on it. And I'm like, it's here. And I pulled into my driveway and like ran up the steps like a little kid on Christmas and tore that thing open.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You'll have to send a picture of what the patches look like, because I'm sure they weren't the, you know, traditional ones.
Oh, it's cool. It's got Oliver Hazard Perry on the front of it. And it's got the Union flag on it at the time with like a, I think it's got the arrowhead in the background, with this gold lettering for Go Ruck and then a white lettering for Battle of Lake Erie in 1812. And then you got the silver tuff and it just looks so awesome. I loved it.
That is great. So do you think this event's going to come back again?
Oh God, I hope so. I really, really hope so. This was so much fun. I know Brian just announced that in January, I think it's the 19th, they opened up a Battle of 1812 for New Orleans. He's trying to turn this into a whole series with a special patch for completing all of them. And so right now that's the next one on the list, but I really, really hope they bring back the Lake Erie one so we can, you know, work the kinks out of it and make an even better event next year.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it was incredible. I mean, there's seriously unique stuff going on at this event.
You know, 1 year of R&D, and a lot of love. I mean, I got mad respect for Brian for putting this on, because every ounce of work shows.
Yeah, yeah, he is, you know, a very dedicated guy and a really hard worker. So it's awesome that it worked out. And I really hope it comes back too, because it sounds like it's one of those events that, you know, people are going to hear about and they're going to want to do, because there's just, you know, such cool stuff happening there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I'm like, what did I get myself into? Because it just seemed like it was more hassle. But after going through it, I'm so glad I did, because it was so much fun.
That's great. So what do you think the chances are that you'll be down at the New Orleans event?
Like I said, my budget is maxed for this year. So a flight to New Orleans plus whatever odds and ends we got to carry for that one, not very likely at this time.
Yeah, that's the tough part about those traveling for events.
We just had a Halloween heavy up here this past weekend. I don't know where B. Yang is from, but he came for that event. And I mean, I don't know how you just truck all your equipment across the country like that, because I have enough trouble just trying to get all my gear up to Detroit in one piece, let alone letting the TSA fiddle with my stuff.
Oh yeah, I've got a hard enough time getting myself half an hour south to an event start, you know? Yeah, I've traveled a couple times for events and it's always, always stressful. Amazon Prime makes it a little bit easier, because if you forget stuff, sometimes you can get it in real quick, but...
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
It's still tough.
My furthest event, if you don't count beach, was Winter Fad in Indy. So that was my second distant event compared to beach, which was that 6.5 hour drive. Indy's like 3.5 hours from where I'm at, I think.
Very nice. I mean, you've got a great area. It sounds like a nice radius to get to some pretty awesome events.
Like 2.5 hours from everything, practically.
That's perfect. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about for this custom tough?
I know Shredder's name is intimidating, but he is a stand-up fella. And before this event, I didn't know Cody. The only time I'd seen him was when he was doing the videos for the selection for the, you know, year previous to this one, when he was talking about how the selection participants' undercarriage was getting a little chafed. And that was the only experience I had with Cody up until this point. But when he came out to this event, he was a smooth operator and a cool dude. And I can't say enough nice things about either cadre.
That's awesome. Well, I've had the opportunity of doing an event with Shredder, and hopefully sometime in the future I can do one with Cody, because you're nothing but good things. So very nice.
Hoping Jeff can come back next year and I can get rid of some of this anxiety about being around him.
Yeah. Well, Corey, thank you so much for taking over an hour running through this event. I mean, it sounds like it was truly something unique. I mean, coming from Brian, it must have been really awesome. So I'm glad that we were able to do this, because I'm excited. I would love to make it out to one of these events, because there's just really cool stuff going on at it. So, and it sounds like a really great group of people who showed up for it. So thank you again for just taking so much time, you know, out of your evening to talk about this. I truly appreciate it, Corey. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, my friend. You are my companion on these long days at work where I'm driving from place to place and I need my ruck and fix. So I'm happy to add to the narrative and support the GRT community. And I hope you can make it out here someday, because I know the Detroit squad would love to host you. And, you know, maybe we can even do a little show out here.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Be a good time.
I'll check the Detroit calendar. Maybe you can send me over the list of events you're doing for 2018, and maybe we can find something that'll work out.
Right on. I could do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. I truly appreciate it. And this has been amazing. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, sir. You have yourself a good day now.
You too. Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. To learn more about this episode, please visit the show notes at alldayrockoff.com/podcast/episode-026. To learn more about All Day Ruck Off, you can visit us at alldayrockoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We would love a review on Apple Podcasts or even our Facebook page. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me at brian@alldayrockoff.com, as I'm always looking for ways to improve the show. Don't forget to check out charitychallenges.org for virtual events, including that 1,000-mile challenge, which raise money for some truly incredible charities. If you want to support the podcast, we've got new gear available on alldayrockoff.com/store, so feel free to check that out. Thank you so much again, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, rock harder.